to the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. I love the Gospels. Been accused of probably preaching in the Gospels too much, but I love the Gospels, and having visited Israel, the Gospels just seems to come alive. Matthew chapter 4, of course, that's the chapter preceding the Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus here, and if you have your Bibles, look with me down at verse 18, 19, and 20. And the Bible says, "And Jesus, he was walking by the Sea of Galilee." I can physically see this happening. Having been to the Sea of Galilee, it's really a rocky shore, and so it's not easy to walk along the side of the Sea of Galilee. There's these rocks about this size just everywhere, and so your feet kind of shift underneath you as you're walking by the Sea of Galilee. So around the Sea of Galilee, there's lots of little rocks where the Sea of Galilee splashes back and forth. Well, here Jesus is. He's walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, and their names were Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew. So we know that Peter and Andrew were brothers. And the Bible says they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. So there are lots of fish. We have pictures where these big fish come right up along the sides of the docks there, and they're looking for something to eat. Perhaps somebody throwing bread or something into the sea, and they're just huge fish, 24, 30 inch fish. So here they are, they're fishing in the Sea of Galilee. We've personally seen it. There's a lot of fish in the Sea of Galilee. And they straightway left their nets and they followed him. In other words, they pulled those nets out of the water. I don't know if they left them with another family member. The Bible's not specific. The idea is they quit fishing. And then verse number 20 says this. Again, remind you, and they straightway left their nets. But Jesus said this, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And then after he makes that comment, they make a decision. Yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. So tonight I'd like to just speak to you about what in the world do we do about outreach in the midst of a virus and after a virus. You see, telling others about Jesus Christ, it is vitally important to us for a couple reasons. Just by way of introduction, it's important to us because I became a Christian, something great happened in my life, and I therefore want to give a testimony. I want other people to know why I'm a Christian. But also, it's the lifeblood of the church, because Jesus commanded us to go out into the highways and byways and to compel them to come in to tell other people about Jesus and what he's done for them. Many churches, though, they gave up a long time ago of having a Sunday night service, a midweek service, and the churches have gotten smaller in their influence in their local community rather than bigger. And what happens when the church gets smaller, they're only looking inward. They're only looking at their membership, and perhaps it's even strange when somebody comes to visit their church. I think in the midst of what's going on in our society right now, that people are searching and looking for answers more so than ever before. It's been interesting, the opportunities to talk about my relationship with the Lord, our church, what we're doing as a church. Are we still open? You're still open? And people wanting to know about our church. I am thankful that on numerous occasions, Jesus Christ, he reinforce what we call the Great Commission, that is to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's an instruction for all of us. And why is that so important? Is that people need the Lord. And so we as a church, we have to be committed to reaching out and reaching people with a gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now, when I was growing up in West Virginia, Fellowship Baptist Church in Fairmont, West Virginia, they had what they called soul winning visitation. We don't necessarily use that terminology here at Tucson Baptist Church, but that's what it was called. And it took place on Thursday nights. And so when I watched my parents grow in the Lord, and when I became an older boy and going into those teenage years, Dad would take me to soul winning visitation. And we would go in Fairmont, West Virginia, and we would go up and down streets, knock on every door, very boldly ask people, if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend your eternity? And we got all kinds of responses, responses of, yes, I do. I have been born again. And people understood born again. They understood Christian. They understood what we were doing, and they weren't intimidated by someone knocking on their door, inviting them to come to church, asking them. I remember one time I was out on visitation with one of our fellow teenagers. His name was Darren Fetty. He still lives in the Fairmont area. And we went out as a youth group, and we were out two by two, and we walked up on this porch. There's a trailer. We knocked on the door, and whoever's turn it was, we went back and forth, and we said, hi, we're from Fellowship Baptist Church, and we'd like to invite you to church, but if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend your eternity? I'll never forget this as long as I live. This guy was holding one of those six packs that has all the plastic on it, and there was like three cans missing. There are three cans still on it. He holds it up, and he laughed at us. Of course, we both were young teenagers, and we look young and were young. He laughed at us and made some derogatory comment, but he said these words. He says, me and my friends are going to go to hell, and we're going to drink Budweiser, and we're going to have a party. And I've never forgotten that. The man was so dismissive of what we were offering him, and that is the eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I remember thinking, oh no, you're going to die and you are going to go to hell, but you'll never see one of your friends for all of eternity. You may bump into somebody that's screaming for all of eternity, but you're never going to see one of your friends. And I can assure you they'll not be Budweiser in hell. But I'll never forget that experience of him holding up those cans and laughing at Darren and I and saying, they're going to go to hell and he's going to have a party with his friends drinking Budweiser. Well, people need the Lord. And there are guys just like that here in Tucson who are drinking and drugs and living a riotous life, and they are going to die without Christ and go to a place called hell. How do we reach those people? When I grew up, it was nothing to knock on a door. It was nothing to tell people, and people didn't run us away, and very rarely did anyone get mad. It was a completely different generation. I mean, this is 40 years ago, and so our society was much different. Now, 40 years later, here in Tucson, we who live here, we know that, we may have a wooden door, but on the outside there's a metal door that has bars on it. And so when somebody knocks on our door, we can see out and we can see who's there, but oftentimes we cannot even see the person we're talking to. And all across Tucson, unless you live in a gated community, there's either bars in the window, there's metal doors, people don't open their doors. So how do we still reach people with the gospel? Well, church family, we have to figure that out. We have to figure out how are we going to tell people about Jesus Christ. I do believe that in the months ahead of us, it's going to be increasingly more difficult to go out and knock on a door because people are not going to be willing to open their door and talk to a total stranger. And then even if we said we'll be safe, we'll wear a mask, that even compounds the problem because no one's going to open their door to a stranger with a mask on, not even understanding their intention. So how do we reach people? I think, first of all, we need to understand that it is vitally important that we tell people about Jesus because their sins and that their sins will separate them from God and they need to be saved. And so that's a crucial message that people need to know. So just because it may be harder to knock on a door, just because it may be harder to get someone to open the door, we still must get the message out. And so we as a staff, we as people who love outreach in our church, as that discussion is ongoing, how do we reach people? Is it through one of the social mediums that we're currently using? Is it through direct mailers? Is it through just imploring people to step up and be a bolder witness at work and when they're out walking in the neighborhood, and every time they have an opportunity to see someone at a restaurant or a store, giving them a gospel tract? How do we reach people? That will be figured out. I can assure you, we are going to figure out a way to better reach people. But the purpose of my message tonight is this. We can figure out the how, but if the want to is not there, the how will never make a difference. And so I would like to directly talk to our church family tonight. And of course, there's other people who will watch from around the world. But do we have the want to? The how doesn't make any difference if we don't have the want to. I must understand Jesus died for the people here in Tucson, and there are tens of thousands who are dying without Christ. I'm not talking about India or Pakistan or Myanmar or China or another country that you could say. I'm talking about here in my own hometown, tens of thousands of people are dying without Christ. And I have to say, with a broken heart, the fact is that my neighbors, the people I go shopping, they are dying without Christ. And they're going to a place called hell. And Jesus loves all of these people from Tucson, as well as your community and neighborhood. And he died for all of them. So let me just give you a couple of thoughts tonight about the want to. Do you have the want to? So we have to understand that telling others about Jesus Christ is an outreach of grace. It's an outreach of grace. What do I mean by grace? Grace is what God extended toward each one of us. We love him because he first loved us. And that is an example of God's grace. Listen to John 1, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So when we speak of God's grace working through us, we are referring to that work of the Holy Spirit. So as a believer, I know that the Holy Spirit lives within me, and God's grace enables, and his divine disposition of my heart changes my attitude and my actions toward others. So when I say, we'll figure out the how to, but what about my want to? That Holy Spirit must do a work in my heart to make me want to tell other people. Tucson Baptist Church, I could say this, it's a grace-based ministry. What do I mean by that? God's grace has changed our attitude about things, and God's grace is the one who does a working in my heart and your heart, and there's no greater joy in life than to serve God from a heart that's filled with gratitude and a heart that's filled with grace to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to spend some time alone with the Lord and see how he can do that work of grace in our own heart and life. We are a grace-based ministry, meaning that several hundred of our people at Tucson Baptist, they have banded together by God's grace. They have been called together by God's grace, and they serve together by God's grace. And I'm thankful that God's grace enables us to work together as a church. Ephesians 3 and verse 7 says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul said that the thing that keeps him in ministry is the grace of God. And with God's calling comes God's enabling. And that enabling is God's grace that allows us to serve together. The want to comes from the grace of God that manifests itself and does a working in our life. So we cannot see our community as filled with problems. We've got to see our community filled with opportunities. And my want to do the how-to comes from the fact that my community has a lot of problems. And their first problem is they do not know Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says this, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation." I remind you that God had a plan for your life before you were ever even born. And God had a plan for your life before you were saved. And God has a plan for your life after you were saved. And God gives you the grace to do that plan that he knew about you before you were ever even formed in your mother's belly. We've been gifted of God and certain spiritual enablements whereby we can serve him more effectively. Romans 12 verse 6 and following says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." When he calls you, to become a Christian, he called you unto himself. He also gives you grace for whatever ministry that he desires for you to serve once you are saved. And I'm saying this evening that when God saved you, he also gifted you with grace to do the want to that leads to the how to reach other people. And by God's grace, you can do whatever God has called you to do. He has called all of us to tell other people about himself. And if he's done a miraculous work in our own life, how can we not tell other people? 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 says, "And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another." Why do we do that? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God's grace is differing and diverse to every Christian. God has someone for you to lead to Christ that no one else can lead to Christ. We live in a city with an Air Force base, multiple factories, warehouses, call centers. I'm not invited to go to the Air Force base. I don't have the credentials to even drive on the base. Of course, a call center, there would be no reason to let me into a call center. One of the big warehouses that processes freight and goods, they don't know, care who Brent Armstrong is. One of our factories here, no matter if it's related to the military or it's related to a product that you would use at your home. I walk up on the door and says, "Hey, I'm Brent Armstrong. I need to come in." They're going to scoff and mock at me. But listen, many of you work there. You work at the Air Force Base. You work at a call center. You work at one of these warehouses. You work at one of these manufacturing facilities. And you have the credentials to get into that place. And therefore, listen, you will see people, talk to people, and have the potential to reach people that I'll never, ever see. And that's why the church is so important, because as we spread out through the week, our touches are to people that other people will never see, talk to, have any interaction with. And that's why it's important that every one of us understand that God enables us with his grace to reach those people that we come in contact with that no one else will come in contact with. And God's grace allows us to see open doors that other people will not see. And so when God saved you, God graced you with this serving gift, this ability to tell other people. And he enables you because of his grace. Acts 1 verse 8 says simply, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And so whether you're a teacher or a factory worker or you own your own business, the fact is that God has called all of us to tell other people about Jesus Christ. So there's this outreach of grace. The second thought I have tonight is that if I'm going to understand the want to or be able to have that want to do the how to reach our community through this virus and the months following it, not only is there an outreach of grace, but there must be an outreach of prayer. It is not trite to say you need to talk to God every day. It's not trite to say that you need to be in an attitude of prayer each and every moment of the day. It's not that I must go into a closet and talk. I need to have the ability at a moment's notice to talk to the Lord. My relationship is such that I can call upon him immediately. Listen to Matthew 9 and this story. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So when I say we have to have an outreach of prayer, if I'm going to have the want to do the how to, I must have an attitude of prayer. And we must pray as Jesus did with a heart of compassion. What is a prayer of compassion? If we're going to reach this world with the gospel, we have to be compassionate. And here's what happens. When we reach our comfort zone, we lose our compassion for the lost. When I'm comfortable, I don't have to be compassionate. And I want to implore us as a church to never lose that compassion for that person that's going to die without Christ and go to a place called hell. Do you remember that old hymn, Oh, What a Savior? Sometime look it up. It's an amazing song. But we had a Savior that was compassionate toward us. How can we ever lose that compassion toward someone else? So when I say we have to have that prayer life, we have to have a compassionate prayer life. And then Jesus said we have to have a prayer life that's looking for other laborers. How can we have other laborers if we're not reaching people? The reason that other laborers are developed is because I and you told someone else about Christ. They got saved and baptized and discipled, and then they turn around and they become a laborer and tell other people about Christ. All of us are laborers in that field if we know Jesus Christ. We need laborers, not loiterers. There's often a sign, no loitering. Loitering just means standing around being useless. The Lord's not looking for people to stand around and be useless. He's looking for laborers. I'm to be a laborer. And if I'm going to have the want to do the how to, I've got to be willing to be a laborer. I am a laborer, but am I laboring or am I loitering? It is a responsibility to be a laborer. So in my prayer life, I've got to pray with a heart of compassion. I need to pray for laborers, understanding that I'm one myself. And then I need, as I'm praying, I need to have a prayer that transcends me, that talks to the heart of God about people I know who are lost. So what I'm saying is we pray specifically for people we know. You may not even know their name, but Lord, every day I stop at my favorite a drink place and so-and-so helps me. Lord, give me an opportunity to show them. Lord, help me to be compassionate. Oh, they may look different than I am. They may use a different language. They may dress different. They may not be like me, but they still need Jesus. And Lord, help me to have that heart of compassion. You need more laborers, and I could be a laborer if I could win so-and-so, praying with that compassion for that person by name. So let's identify. And I'd like to challenge you, church, when we talk about outreach in the future, I believe it's going to be much more one-on-one and specific. I don't know that mass knocking on doors is going to be the way to do it. I don't know that. But I do know that the scripture says that when I personally talk to someone, the Holy Spirit could do a work because the Holy Spirit uses his word to convict that heart. I think that there's got to be a lot more 101 praying with compassion for neighbors by name of people we know and telling them about Jesus Christ. Well, my time's going by quickly. I don't want to spend too long in this message tonight. We've had a long day already. But let me just say there also must be not only an outreach of grace, an outreach of prayer, but thirdly, there needs to be an outreach of vision. And this is where your pastor, your church staff comes in. This is where you get on board, is if I don't see clearly, I can't reach clearly. And I need to have a biblical vision. I need to understand Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, do you know the rest of that verse? The people perish. A vision, it's biblical truth. Without the word of God, people are literally perishing. People are literally dying. And so I need to have a vision. I need to grasp hold of that vision at my church of how I can reach people. And coming alongside, we can share those testimonies of how people have been reached because there was a clear vision. There was a clear method. There was a clear how-to. And my want-to helped the how-to to take place. But we got to understand that vision. And that's what I'm laying the groundwork for our church tonight is that during the remaining months of this pandemic, this virus, and reaching into the forward, understanding that church is going to be different, outreach is going to be different, will you be willing to embrace the vision of your pastor through the Word of God to reach people? John 4, verse 35 says this, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white already to harvest." We are not waiting for the harvest. The harvest is already here. And we must understand every day that goes by is a lost opportunity to share our faith and to tell someone about Jesus Christ. The need is there, but is your want to there? We will provide the how-to, but the how-to is absolutely no good if your want-to is not there. If you wait for someone else to get the job done, guess what? They say the job will never get done. We together, we've got to come alongside and understand that through our church, there are a number of different ministries and ways to reach people. But if you don't have the want-to to tell people right where you are, about Jesus, that it doesn't matter how many ministries we have. It doesn't matter how many how-tos I present to you if the want-to is not there. Maybe I should have just entitled tonight's message, Want-To. And do you have that want-to? Do you see the needs of people? And so could we stop tonight and consider that Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee there in Matthew chapter 4. I can see it. It's rocky. And in the future, out in the distance, he sees two men, Peter and Andrew, brothers. They're out there fishing, big fish. And he says, "Hey, fellas, come on over here." He says, I really like the fact that you're fishermen. Why don't you leave your nets here, follow me, and we're going to go fish after men." Now, he used their own language that they understood. We're going to go fish for men. There's got to be bait. We got to go catch them. We've got to go get them. Church, the fish never come to the fishermen and say, "Hey, catch me." They actually have to put bait in water. They have to go out and get the fish. I have to go get the fish. That means I need to talk to people with heart of compassion, seeing that person as a laborer in the harvest field. And by name, I pray for that person. I must have that want to. The Bible says that Peter and Andrew immediately followed Jesus to become fishers of men. What an amazing testimony. I'm asking you, we're going to provide to you in the coming weeks and months the how-to, the framework, if you will, of how we're going to reach our community in Tucson. I do believe it will look different. I don't think that we'll be able to do the same methods that we did before. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible does not give us a chapter and verse of saying exactly how we reach our community. He just says to do it. So we're going to provide you a how-to. The how-to will never work if the want-to is not there. I want to challenge you, church, to want to witness, to want to reach people, to want to tell people about the miracle that took place in your own life, to want to tell people about a Jesus who died for their sins, to want to tell people that if you continue sinning and reject Christ, you will die one day. You'll split hell wide open, but it won't be a party. It's going to be eternal separation and destruction and judgment from a God. Until you have that want to, that internal combustion to tell other people, there's going to be people continue to die without Christ right here in Tucson. Does your want to match our how to? Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together tonight. Thank you for the day of services here in Spanish, English. Thank you for the lives that have been impacted on this Lord's Day. I ask that you would take this message, that you will use it, that you will help us to stop, think, consider it. And Lord, help us to want to be a person who tells others about you. And Lord, help us to not be afraid and timid and shy, but give us a Holy Spirit boldness to tell others about Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church family, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Now, don't forget, tomorrow night we will not have Facebook Live, but we'll begin again on Tuesday night. We'll be with you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and we can't wait to spend that time with you. Next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we'll be back. Excuse me, at 10 o'clock. It's been a long day. It's tiring. At 10 o'clock next Sunday morning, we'll be back together. We'll have a great time together around church and our family and around the Word of God. And if we can help you in any way during this week, all you have to do is call us or email us, and we would love to help you as we do every week. There's always a need, and a lot of times they're spur of the moment, last minute needs, but however we can help you, we would love to. So until we meet again on Tuesday night or even next Sunday, may God richly bless you. Look for those opportunities to tell someone about Jesus Christ this week. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. Make sure your want to matches the how to. Until next week, God bless you.